In the book of Revelation, when we ended last Sunday morning, we got down to Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, and I just want to read those last few verses there before we look at chapter 12 for this morning. It says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders," remember they represent the Old and the New Testament saints, "which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldst give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." So at the end of Revelation chapter 11, there's a scene there in heaven which depicted all the saints of God. Once again, they're worshiping God as they see this great coronation service that is going to be held. God said that he would give his son all things under his feet. All the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And so we see the temple being opened and the Ark of the Covenant there, seen in the temple as Revelation chapter 11 closes and confirms God's promise during that time of tribulation. He will work in the life of the nation of Israel. So we see the establishment of the nation of Israel, which happened on May the 14th, 1948. It's very, very important to end time events. I mentioned this morning to my Sunday school class that a lot of people wonder, why do you study end time events? Well, number one, if you're familiar with the 66 books and the canon of Scripture, which is the Bible, then you understand that one third of all the Bible is about prophecy. And so it must be very important to God for him to include it in the canon of Scripture. So the church, we see one of these days that the church is going to be raptured out of here, and then God is going to turn his program to the nation of Israel in particular. And so in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6 through 7, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now God has given the world the Messiah. He has given us the Messiah through the Jewish nation, the nation of Israel. You know that the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye. They are his covenant people. God is not finished with the nation of Israel. And so God has given the Messiah here the power and the glory that will be his, that is his forevermore. And one of these days, when the church is raptured out of here, caught up to be with the Lord during that seven period of time that you and I are at what is called the marriage supper of the Lamb, we are rewarded for the things we've done for Christ. There's a great tribulation that is taking place upon the earth. It will last for seven years. It's what is called the 70th week in the book of Daniel's prophecy. But this morning, as we come to the 12th chapter, and we see this radiant woman who is this woman that is spoken about in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation? Verses 1 through 6 says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath the place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days, or it is 42 months, or it is 3.5 years of this 7-year period of tribulation. And so when we come to chapter 12, we see some characters here. We see Satan, the dragon, the Antichrist, the beast of the sea, the beast of the earth, the false prophet. All of these particular things we'll be seeing in these preceding chapters. This morning I mentioned that Israel, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the Jewish people. For God chose them many, 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 many years ago when he made his covenant promise with Abraham that he would bless his descendants as the stars of heaven, and they would be many upon the earth, and through Abraham the blessings of the world would come. Now Israel is God's sign nation. Israel is God's billboard to this world. If you can only imagine that small parcel of property over there in the Holy Land. God gave it to the Jewish people many, many years ago. God has not rescinded that real estate covenant that he made with them many, many years ago. Now, America, as well as others, are trying to get the Jewish people to divide up their land and to give some of their land away. That was never part of God's plan. But Israel is God's billboard to this world. And the reason that the world wants to come against the nation of Israel, number one, is because of the Jewish people, and through the Jewish people brought the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's through the Jewish people that we have the Bible, the Scriptures. That parcel of property over there is filled with all kinds of priceless minerals that are under the seas and in the land. In fact, the other night on television, on one of the history channels, they were speaking about that in Europe, there are some 500 million people, and 40% of the products that they get come from the nation of Israel. So you can understand why that the whole world's eyes are upon that parcel of property, because it is a very prosperous piece of real estate. And at the end of time, this battle of Armageddon, when these nations of the world come together to fight the Jewish people, and of course God will intercept and intervene and send his son Jesus Christ, who will speak the word, and that battle will end over there in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, Valley of Megiddo, where that great battle is going to wage one of these days. But I want you to know, Israel is God's blueprint. Israel is God's yardstick, and so goes Israel, so goes prophecy in the Bible. And so when we come to this passage for this morning, there's a woman listed here. Notice how she's clothed. She's clothed with the sun and the moon at her feet. And she has 12 stars, which is a symbol of the nation of Israel. And so this radiant woman that is pictured here in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation is the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, you remember Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob would later be named Israel. God would change his name from Jacob to Israel. He had 12 sons that made up the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Now, Joseph was one of those. In the book of Revelation, book of Genesis, chapter 37 and verse 9, we read these words. In the book of Genesis, it says in verse 9, and he, speaking of Joseph, dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brothers and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now he saw, notice, 11 stars, because Joseph was dreaming he would be himself the 12th of those stars, which were the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. This was God's prophecy that one day Joseph was going to be a great leader. He was going to be a great, powerful figure. There would come a time that his brothers would come and they would worship and they would bow before him. This would come true many years later when there was a great famine in the land of Israel. And Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to buy food, to get food. They thought their brother Joseph was dead, but little did they know that God had put him in such a place for such a time to take care of his brethren and the Jewish people. They discovered that he would be the one that God would raise up, that God would use to give them sustenance during this time of famine. But notice the symbolism in that, the sun, the moon, and the stars there in that passage in the book of Genesis. Then when you come back to our passage for this morning in Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you see the same thing. And what's it referring to? It's referring to the nation of Israel, the picture here of the glorious dignity of the nation of Israel, clothed with the sun, the moon, and the stars at our feet. So the sun represents Jacob, Joseph's father. The moon will represent his mother. And the stars there represent his brethren. Another reason that we say this refers to the nation of Israel is that God long ago made a covenant with Abraham and told him he would make of him a great nation. He said, your descendants will be like the stars. In other words, they would be innumerable. When we consider all of the biblical information, when we during the time of the tribulation and how it's going to affect the nation of Israel, we understand that once again the same symbolism is used, not only from the beginning in the book of Genesis of God's covenant with Abraham, who was the father of the Jewish race, but the nation of Israel. So in Genesis chapter 15, 5, you can see that Abram's seed, Israel, is likened to the stars. This also speaks about Israel's glorious destiny. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 2, and she, speaking of this radiant woman, this nation of Israel, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. I believe that we are looking here at this nation of Israel because it would be through her that the Christ child, the Messiah, the sovereign of the universe would come. And Israel down through the ages has travailed in great pain as they have been persecuted so greatly. Notice her suffering in verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. That word wonder there means a sign. something that people know is definitely a message from God. The Bible says there'll be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And these wonders in the heavens are a message from God. And so the cause of suffering, notice, is this great red dragon. He's got seven heads. He has 10 horns. He has seven crowns upon his heads. Now, the dragon is none other than Satan himself. Satan is the dragon. So whenever you're reading the book of Revelation and you come across dragon, it's speaking of Satan, the devil, the slanderer, the deceiver, the murderer, the liar, the one who has tried from the book of Genesis to block the way for the Messiah to come. Let me tell you, when Cain killed his brother Abel, let me tell you, Abel would have been the line through which the Messiah would have come. But Adam and Eve had another son. His name would be Seth. He would be the godly lineage through which the Messiah would come. But Satan tried to use Cain into trying to thwart that plan. Notice in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Did you realize there was a war in heaven? Now, you would think heaven would not be a place there was war. But Michael, who is the commander, the field commander of the angelic army of Almighty God in heaven, he's also the guardian angel for the nation of Israel. And let me tell you, the Bible says there was war in heaven, and Michael and the good angels fought against Lucifer and the bad angels. And a third of those bad angels that were bad news, let me tell you, one third of them fell from heaven with Lucifer, with Satan. And those angels that fell are what we would know as demons that roam this earth out there, that are assigned to governments and to cities and nations and powerful people in high places. They're assigned to churches. You wonder why there's so many problems in churches. Let me tell you, Satan has a hierarchy of demons out there that he assigns to harass and to use against God's people. But hallelujah, this morning, there are two-thirds greater good angels than there are those that fell with Satan. And I want you to know, the Bible says those angels, they are thousands times 10,000 times 10,000. There are untold multi-millions of angels. They are innumerable. You and I could never count them. Verse 9 of our text says, and the great dragon, that Satan, was cast out. Where? Of heaven. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So the dragon here is Satan. I want you to think about the Jewish people this morning, all that they've suffered in persecution throughout recorded history. World history, that they have been harassed, they have been persecuted, they have been martyred, and Satan hates the nation of Israel because Satan hates the Lord Jesus Christ, through which Christ came. The word red there, the red dragon, red denotes warlike, his warlike nature and bloodshed. One of those four horsemen that we talked about, the white horse and the black horse and the red horse and the pale horse, as we began our studies in the book of Revelation, you'll remember that one of those four horsemen of the apocalypse that John saw in this future thing, event to come, was a rider riding a red horse, and that one represented war and bloodshed. So we see now here in chapter 12 that this dragon wars against the woman, the nation of Israel. Now, Satan declared war on this woman, on this nation, and on her seed in the Garden of Eden. So it's been going on ever since Genesis. Now, why does this dragon. Symbolically here, it says he has seven heads. Well, the dragon is not only a sinister creature, but he's also shrewd. And the number seven means complete. He will have not an ordinary intelligence, but a super intelligence. And the seven heads indicate his completeness of his worldly, secular wisdom. He will also be superior. It says he has 10 horns, and that represents power and authority. And as you study the Bible, you will find that these 10 horns also symbolize the Roman Empire. And if you'll remember when Daniel interpreted the dream there in the book of Daniel, there were 10 toes. Those represent the revived Roman Empire that will be a part of the end time events one of these days. And so the seven heads indicate his complete wisdom. The 10 horns indicate symbolize his power and his authority. And as you look at the Bible, you realize that the revived Roman Empire, one of these days, will be back into play and will be a crucial part of end time events. It's through the Roman Empire that many of the Jews, as well as Christian believers, were persecuted. The Jews were under the heel of the Roman emperor. And under Roman domination, they had to pay the taxes to Rome, and they were extorted and paid far more beyond what they were ever supposed to pay. And so the 10 horns we see on this dragon and the 7 crowns represent power and authority of a great government. Now, the Antichrist, this one world leader that will arise on the scene one of these days. You might say, is he alive? I'm sure that he is somewhere out there on the scene. At the beginning of the tribulation on this earth, he's going to be the political leader of a 10-nation confederacy, a uniting of all of the most powerful nations of this world. He's going to begin his rule from that perspective. So the 10 horns and the 7 crowns on the 7 heads represent his authority and his power, his superiority as a ruler. He's going to be in control during the days of the tribulation upon this earth. And that's what is going to make the tribulation the tribulation. The Bible says there has never been a time ever like it before and never ever will be again. So here in chapter 12, this great red dragon, Satan, he's going to come. He's going to have full authority on the earth for the first time. He now is the prince of the power of the air out there. The Bible says Satan is a roaring lion, walks up and down the earth seeking whom he may devour. Now, what is it that's holding back Satan's power right now? Is the simple fact of all the Christians in the world that have the Holy Spirit that is living in their heart. That's the only thing that is restraining Satan right now from having all full force that he is going to have one of these days. But when the church is gone, and that the church represents all of the people that have been saved since the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit descended, 3,000 souls were saved that day. That began what we call the age of grace, or the church age. You and I are living in the church age, the age of grace. And one of these days, when the last person gets saved in the age of grace, the church age, Jesus will step out into the clouds and he's going to call his children home. And when that happens, then the restraining power of the Holy Spirit will be out of here. But God never leaves himself without a witness. Last Sunday morning, we saw God's 2 witnesses, and we believe that they will be Elijah and Moses one of these days. One of them represented the law, Moses, and Elijah represented the prophets, and they did miraculous powers during those days. And I believe they will be the two witnesses, along with the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel that will go out and evangelize the world during that time and share Christ with people. Notice this red dragon, he has followers, and they're mentioned there. I believe the stars there refers to the angelic host in verse 4, and his tail, speaking of the dragon there in verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That's referring to those angels that fell with Lucifer. The stars of heaven in the book of Job, the book of Job says the stars of heaven, the sons of God, shouted for joy. So many times the angelic host are called the stars of heaven. We have sports stars. We have Hollywood stars. And we know they're not literal twinkling stars out there in the sky any more than these are in this present passage, because it's speaking here of the angels. But I want you to know, as they were cast out of their original place in heaven, and let me tell you, Satan, the Bible says, changes himself into an angel of light. Don't ever think he's a little red guy in little red tights with horns and a pitchfork running around. The Bible says that he was the most beautiful of all of the created angels. He was the one who led in worship and praise. Let me tell you, he was the choir master of heaven until iniquity was found in him. In the book of Isaiah and Ezekiel speak about his beauty and what he was like. But I want you to know there are demons that roam this earth. And verse 12 says the dragon stood before the woman. The woman there is the nation of Israel, which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. What does that mean? Through the Jewish people, Jesus came. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus is a Jew. I shared with the Sunday school class this morning, there were two Americans speaking one day. One was an American Jew, and one was not a Jew. And the one that was not a Jew said, well, I can trace my descendants all the way back to the Declaration of Independence, and they signed it. And the Jewish American said, well, that's interesting. I can trace mine all the way back to the beginning of time because he signed the Ten Commandments. I want you to know Jesus is a Jew. And through the Jewish nation came the Messiah. So the suffering goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. And as soon as man had sinned, he was offered salvation. Notice in Genesis 3, 14, 15, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, that's Satan again, because thou hast done this. What had he done? He had caused Eve to partake of the apple. Thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, that's the nation of Israel, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let me tell you, it's a reference to the cross. Jesus was the seed of woman, the nation of Israel. Jesus had an earthly mother, but he didn't have an earthly father. Joseph, of course, married Mary and stepped in to be the surrogate father. But I want you to know Jesus' father was the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so, let me tell you, when Christ died on the cross, he dealt a blow to Satan. And that's what is meant there in that Genesis passage. He crushed Satan's head, but in doing so, he was wounded. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. But let me tell you, he bruised Satan's heel because he crushed him. So all of the persecution against the Jewish people has been satanic in origin. And Satan hates the Jews because he wants to rid them, because it was through them that we have the written word of God. It was through them that we have the Messiah. Israel was persecuted under Pharaoh during the days of Moses, if you'll remember that, as they were laborers for the Pharaohs, the kings of Egypt, for 400 years. And when Moses was born, you'll remember Pharaoh decided to kill all of the male babies under 2 years old that were born to the Jewish women down in the land of Goshen. A lot of blood flowed from the Jews through the centuries. Later on in the book of Esther, you'll remember how that Haman was going to destroy the Jews. But once again, God stepped in through Esther. And Esther went before the king, and the king listened to Esther, and the Jewish people were saved. And they and the Jewish people had been attacked down through the period of time by the Persians and the Romans and through Egyptian bondage. Let me tell you, Satan hates the nation of Israel. They spell his doom, and he knows that. Verse 5 of our text, it says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up." That's where we get the word rapture. "Was caught up to God and to his throne." That's just a little mini capsule of the birth and the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 6, it continues the story of Christ as he's going to protect Israel during the days of the tribulation. Let me tell you, God will protect them. Satan has tried throughout history to destroy Christ, to destroy the Jewish people, but he couldn't do it. If you'll remember when Christ was born and the wise men asked of Herod about him, if you'll remember, Herod tried to destroy the children in Bethlehem that were 2 years of age because he had hoped that it would get the Christ child, but it did not do it. Notice verse 6 of chapter 12 of Revelation. "And the woman fled into the wilderness." This is speaking of the days of the tribulation, when the nation of Israel, the woman, will flee into the wilderness, where she hath a place, notice, prepared of God. That's the second time that "prepared of God" is used in the Bible. The other time is in the book of John chapter 14, when he goes to prepare a place for you and me. Now, God is going to prepare a place somewhere in the wilderness over there. Some Bible scholars believe it's Petra. Others don't know. But God is going to prepare a place where he will protect the Jewish people that believe in him as the Messiah during the days of the tribulation. That they should feed her. Notice, God is going to feed the nation there 1,203 score days, 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days, whichever you want to call it. All of those are listed there in the scripture. Notice that God is going to protect them. God is going to feed them. And let me tell you, one of these days, let me tell you, God is going to take care of the nation of Israel, and God is not finished. When you study the book of Romans, when you get to chapter 9, chapter 10, and chapter 11, it's a parenthesis in the book of Romans that deals with the nation of Israel and God turning back to the nation of Israel. Let me tell you, God is going to guard the nation of Israel during the days of the tribulation. He's going to have a place prepared for them. He's going to feed them and to take care of them. And the Bible tells us, "And all Israel will be saved." That doesn't mean that every Jew is going to be saved. It means those that are saved, and all Israel will be saved. Notice verse 10 and 11 as we close. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser," that's the devil, "of our brethren is cast down." Did you know Satan accuses you and me every day of our lives? "Which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Let me tell you, during the days of the tribulation, those people that trust in Jesus will love Jesus more than they love their lives themselves. And they will overcome Satan and the Antichrist by their testimony. And they will not love their lives enough that if they're martyred, they will know that they will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings. A lot of people think that because the eagle of America, the great bald eagle, the great symbol of America, a lot of people think that this is speaking about America here. I don't know who it's speaking about. Others think that the great eagle may have to do with England. I think the best we can do is just leave it in the hands of God, and God knows who it's going to be. And to the woman, in other words, to Israel there, were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. That's 42 months, which is 3.5 years. That is 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. All of those are used there in the book of Daniel. Notice, and times from the face of the serpent. God is some way miraculously going to raise them up on eagle's wings and hide them in the wilderness and feed them while this one world dictator is trying to destroy them. Let me tell you, some way in God's sovereignty and in God's power, majesticness, supernaturally, God will provide for those in the nation of Israel whose names will be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the rest of chapter 12 deals with the names of Satan. He's called the accuser of the brethren in verse 10. Verse 9, he's called the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. Let me tell you, Satan is alive today, even greater than he's ever been in all of human history, because Satan knows that his time is running short in this world. The Bible says in the book of Peter, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, if there ever was a time in all of human history and all of Christendom to pray for this world and for salvation for the lost and to give witness to Jesus, let me tell you, it's now. One of these days, he's going to come. Jesus is going to come one of these days or one of these nights. Let me tell you, the whole world will miss that event. The whole world will miss the event of millions of people all over the world being gone. Let me tell you, they're all already trying to come up with some scientific explanation that a lot of people are going to be disappearing one of these days. They say some kind of electrical gravitational force. Yeah, I know what that is. It's called the rapture of the church. Folks, I want you to know one of these days, little children, babies, will be missing from strollers, and parents that don't know Jesus will be looking for their children. Can you only imagine the weeping? You talk about fear. You think we've been somewhat fearful of a pandemic? Let me tell you, the world doesn't know fear until the restrainer of the Holy Spirit is removed one of these days from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all hell is going to break out upon this earth cataclysmically, through natural occurrences and events, through hurricanes and through earthquakes, and through all of the devastation in the planetary heavens. I was listening the other night to one of the Bible prophecy preachers who has written a new book that's out, and he was sharing, because they were saying, well, haven't there been other blood moons in the past? And he said, yes, there has. They've all been on holy days on the Jewish calendar, starting from 1490 1903 and 94, to 1949 and 1950, to 1968 to 1969, and then to 2014 and 2015. They've all been on holy days. Jesus said there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Folks, let me tell you what people better be doing. They better be repenting and they better be returning, because let me tell you, I believe if you listen closely, you can hear the faint, distant hoofbeats of the horsemen of the apocalypse from the book of Revelation. You better keep your eyes on the eastern sky and keep your heart attuned to the voice of the Almighty. Jesus is coming again. The question is, do you know him? Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we have this verse of invitation, someone needs to give their heart and life to you. May they ask you to come into their heart and life and be the Lord of their life before it's eternally too late. Oh God, if there's somebody out there listening today that's never trusted you, Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would move and bring them to a place of conversion. If someone's here today that needs to join this church or trust Christ, will you come this morning? If you're out there listening, would you pray and ask Jesus to save you? Be sure that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you have trusted Jesus, because that's all that will make a difference someday. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.